4 in 10 people believe in ghosts. Over a third of people believe intelligent life exists outside of Earth. 43% of people believe demons exist. There are unexplained phenomena happening daily around the globe, and we are here to talk about it. Your portal into UFOs, paranormal, cryptids, the supernatural, the mysterious, the unknown. This is Beyond the Radar, and this is your host, humanoid Tom Kaway.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Beyond the Radar, your paranormal news program. We are broadcasting live from Philadelphia on the United Public Radio Network and the UFO Paranormal Network, 105.3 on the Gulf Coast and 107.7 FM in New Orleans, or streaming via the UPRN Facebook page or YouTube page, Beyond the Radar's Facebook or YouTube page, and we are also on Roku TV. Check out archives there as well to Beyond the Radar's podcast on Spotify for past shows. As always, please interact with the show on Facebook, YouTube, or our free text line straight to me. That's 484-253-5328. Today, we have a wonderful show for everyone, and we're going to talk a little bit conspiracy here. We're going to talk a little bit about simulation theory. I have an excellent source for all of you, so I'm very excited to get into that. My screen is not working. Hold on. Let me get this off of there. Real professional, Tom. Thank you. So there we are. Hello, everybody. That's me. So like I said, we have a wonderful show. We're going to be going into UFO cover-up. There's been some breaking news out of the Hill, if you want to call it that, and we have some interesting stuff to talk about. Really interesting. So fear not. You know, we are going to cross everything and get everything taken care of. And I am throwing the banner up, which also will have our phone number. So again, the text board is live. Please text in with any questions, concerns, any kind of anything you want to talk about, and we'll discuss it. So first off, I want to get into UFO government cover-ups. There's been some news, and I don't know how often you follow mainstream media, but one of the things is Tim Burchett has come out, and he's really spearheaded, at least lately, our UFO cover-up agenda, and he's talked about some wonderful things. And what's really fascinating to me, everyone, is that this gentleman is on Capitol Hill. He's a United States representative from Tennessee, the 2nd District, which is right around, I believe, Oak Ridge area. So geographically, I guess it would be the eastern part of Tennessee, right there. So before we dive into what he has to talk about, I want to talk to everyone about the history of the cover-up of the United States and how it's really affected everybody. So one interesting fact is this survey in 2013, AEI Research Assistant Andrew Rugg released a public opinion study on the surveys of conspiracy theories. Now, believing in aliens is not a conspiracy theory. It is, you know, it is true. But in the history of it, there was a Roper organization, and Roper for the name of the man. And he began asking people in 1977 whether they believed in unidentified flying objects from somewhere else in this universe. And 29% of Americans back then in 1977 said that they did. Roper questioned occasionally again for the next 22 years up until 1999. Thank you, Nicole, so much for sharing that. I appreciate it. So for the next 22 years, they went ahead and they kept doing this, and they found that the number consistently stayed around 20%. So that's fine, 20 to 30%. In the whole scheme of 300 million Americans, yeah, that's a lot. That's, you know, 10% is 30 million, 20, 60. That's a lot of people that believe in UFOs from some other planet. So in 1997, Air Force report on what some would call the Roswell incident piqued the pollsters' interest, so they once again asked Americans about the subject. And a quarter in the Roper poll around that time said they were following the news reports about UFOs closely, and another 36% said casually. A question that has been used several times by various polling organizations was 1990 and 2000 asked Americans whether UFOs were something real or just people's imagination. And the something real, everybody, the something real, it documented, had ranged over 10 years from 43 to 61%. So by the end, by as closer you got to the year 2000, over half of the United States believed that UFOs were something real and at least were not people's imaginations or seeing different things. So very interesting that as we get closer to 2000, more and more people are believing this. In 1996, 45% of people said UFOs had visited Earth in some form, one way, shape, form, another, whatever it might be. UFOs have come here, and that's 45%. So again, you know, 930 million people, roughly around there, 120 million, had believed that UFOs have visited Earth at some point. But here's the caveat, ladies and gentlemen, loyal listeners, my wonderful fans. Here is the caveat. When asked whether the government was covering up the evidence, 71% told Gallup in 1996 that the federal government knew more about UFOs than what they were telling us. Another question from another polling organization, everyone, Scripps Howard University, found that 48% thought the U.S. Air Force was very or somewhat likely to be withholding proof of intelligent life from other planets. Very damning evidence right there. And when you get to 1997, so 27 years ago, oh God, I hate saying that. 27 years ago, 1997, CNN in Time poll, 8% of people said they had seen a UFO or anything that they believed was a spacecraft from another planet. And 17% said they knew someone who had. That's pretty interesting to me, everybody. That's pretty interesting to me. 8%. So 24 million, you know, 24 million on 300 million, roughly, is what people are telling us that they saw UFO. That's a lot of people. That is a lot of people. That's roughly 500,000 people in every single state. Now you can see why another 17% said they knew somebody who had. 2% said that they had known or been in contact with aliens or abducted. 6 million people. That's incredible. 6 million people. If I were to guess that number, everyone, I don't think I would have put it at 6 million. I don't think I would have put it that high. Probably would have been maybe a million, if that, if I even got to that number. Definitely interesting. So let's get up into today. Let's get up into the modern times, everyone. The federal government issued a preliminary report in June, 2021 on evidence of unidentified aerial phenomena. Once again, pollsters returned to this subject. The report reinforced a pattern we saw in earlier questions. 12% had told that they read or heard a lot about it. 66% said they heard a little bit, but not a lot. And a question from 2021, 39% of people believed in UFOs. 35% said they didn't. 26% said they were agnostic. So I don't know if they are or not, but, you know, we might not. But it's for the first time, everybody. In 2021, CBS News also did a poll, and they got 73% of the public to do that. So 66 and 73. out of all of those, 39% of people believe that in UFOs, 35 didn't. So for the first time in history, you start having more believers than you do than you do non-believers, which is fantastic. You know, I love it, and I really pride and give a shout out to all the people who stuck by their guns, who were real true Americans, who said, I know I believe in this and I'm not going to think anything otherwise. Clap, hands up to you. You know, I'm damn proud of you. So when we have people, right, who are not afraid to come out, not afraid to say what they saw, not afraid to report it, and not intimidated by, you know, this is CBS, this is Time, you know, these are big publications, these are big media outlets. I'm extremely proud of people sticking to their guns and saying that. So, one thing, the National Security Council spokesperson, John Kirby, in a comment back in 2022, said, I don't think American people need to worry about aliens with respect to these craft. I have a question. I have an answer for you, John Kirby. I would be worried. We've seen the Tic Tac videos. We've seen the gimbal videos. We've seen what these craft can do. We know what your craft can't do. I think we should be a little more enlightened on the subject, John Kirby. I understand, you know, in 2023, I believe, or 2022, I think it was 2023, you had the Chinese balloon that was coming over. And what was the government, what was major media doing? They were laughing at you. They were laughing at us. They were saying, this is Chinese. You guys don't have to worry about this. All that kind of good, fun stuff. You know, what happened to that balloon? Has anyone ever heard about it? Has anyone ever heard anything after it? We shot it down, didn't we? We captured it. We took it. We're investigating it. Why? What's the need? If this is a simple balloon, tell us. Show us. Show us what this all means. And this also gets into Representative Tim Burchett. It'll be few and far between you find me on the side of a politician, but this gentleman, I have to give it up. He did what he was supposed to do as a member of the Congress and your elected representation. So Tim Burchett on UFOs, he was on, he did the media rounds, you know, I believe Fox News, I believe The Hill, TMZ even caught it wind of this, but if you can find any of those videos, please, please go ahead and check it out, because it is it's interesting what he has to say. So I'll go in depth a little bit about the interview and talk to you about what he said. Now, this is a United States representative, Republican from Tennessee. I say, and I'll start it off with a banger, and I quote, I think there's a cover-up, Burchett told Blake Berman of News Nation's The Hill. There, he follows up by saying, there are tens of millions of dollars that we've spent investigating these things. We've had departments tell us they have recovery units, but won't release the full reports. Everything is covered up. End quote. By Tim Burchett, Representative, Tennessee. Area District 2. Now, if that name sounds familiar, yes, exactly, Nicole. One of our loyal commenters. I can see why they didn't want to cause mass hysteria. Look what happened when COVID hit. Well, I can't argue with you there, fellow American. I cannot. Thank you. Hysteria. Is it driven or is it produced? You know, it's a chicken and the egg scenario a little bit to me. But anyway, with Burchett, when he accused the Pentagon in the past. Some of you might remember him from other things, but he accused the Pentagon of withholding information that would prove the existence of extraterrestrial life. Not craft, not technology, life. And after a series of explosive hearings in the summer in which several whistleblowers alleged the government was hiding intel on ultra-high-tech craft of foreign or even extraterrestrial origin, Burchett requested the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community to investigate these claims further. Now, Tim is a Republican who's a part of a group of bipartisan lawmakers. So this is across the aisle, guys, Democrat and Republican. You know how separated everybody is at this current time. He is a group of bipartisan lawmakers who have continued to push for greater transparency from the military officials on what the government knows about UAPs, leading to an effort last fall to launch the House UAP Caucus. When asked why he suspected a cover-up, Burchett pointed to vast financial and technological gains that could be made should evidence of extraterrestrial life become public, asserting that the American people would be able to handle such knowledge. His quote again, "It might be the fact that it's just plain arrogance. They don't think we deserve it," Burchett said. Now, I'm going to jump on piggyback off of this and say, who's they, Tim? Intelligence committees, outside contractors, people with money to lose. That's my answer. That's my answer. People with money to lose think we don't deserve it because money is better spent in their hands, in their company's budgets, than back to the American people. Burchett goes on to say, "I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with high-ranking officials that have told me that America can't really handle this stuff. It's not their position to tell me who or what I can handle. We're Americans. We ought to be able to take it. Give it to us." Wow. So, that's the end of this one article. Another one goes on to ask, if there is nothing to cover up, and this is a quote from Burchett, if there's nothing to cover up, where are the reports? Where are the documents saying there is nothing to, here's everything. But how can you claim there is no evidence of a cover-up? How can you claim there is no evidence of craft? How can you claim there is no evidence of biological life? But you keep putting in the budget for more money every single time. It doesn't make sense, people. It does not make sense. You're smart Americans. Think about it. If there's nothing to hide, then show me all the reports. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Text board's lighting up. Thank you. I'm going to head over here now. Take a look at our text board for the first time. Why don't they? So this is from Sarah in PA. Hello, Sarah. Why don't they tell us where the money is, Tom? Well, I wish I could give you an answer, but I can give you a kind of answer. So for the majority of money that's passed in Congress, there is a website. And please, everybody, if you're listening, write this down so you can hold your own people accountable in your own areas. USAspending.gov. And that's an official source for spending data of the U.S. government. And its mission is to show the American public what federal government money gets spent on every year. USAspending.gov. Write that down, take a look, and see what your tax dollars are actually being spent towards. Now, they tried to make this more transparent. There's two bills that got passed. The Federal Funding Accountability and Transparency Act in 2006 and a Digital Accountability and Transparency Act in 2014. So, but what that doesn't do and what none of this does is that if you put things in the name of national security, if you put things in the vein of national security, you do not have to report on what it is. So they won't tell you because they put that catch-all blanket over what they're giving to these programs and these projects. It's for national security. We don't have to tell you what it is. I understand we don't want to be giving secrets away. I understand we don't want people learning, but I think throwing this over that is a little too far-fetched. But they're going to play the game. They know how to play the game. They're in Congress for a reason. You got elected for a reason. They know how to play the game. So, Sarah, I hope that was the best I could answer your question. Amanda, North Carolina. What could be his reason for coming forward? Very good point. Now, Tim has done much in the past. He's done a lot of things in the past to help the American people on the cover-up scenario in UFOs. We also have to remember he is a politician. He might have an eye for something bigger in Tennessee. He might have a Senate run. He might have a governor run, gubernatorial run, maybe even higher. I don't know. But as far as that on the politician side, maybe he's testing the waters to see if this could be a base that he could use later. I have nothing, no reason to suspect that. He's not from my state. He's not even from my area. But, you know, we do have to keep in mind that. That's one area. The other area is he probably got shut out of all of these things. He probably wants to be in the know. He probably has a burning desire. And maybe he does want to serve the constituents of his area. All those reasons could be why he's coming forward. Again, we have to take it with a grain of salt. He is a politician. So hopefully that got you, Amanda. Frank, Nevada. I saw some weird lights over my house the other day. Frank, well, good for you, because I'm going to give you this website, beyondtheradarnews.com, www.beyondtheradarnews.com. Submit your evidence and put it on a map. It'll be a little pin on a map, and anybody who's a fan of this program or a fan of just knowledge will be able to click on it, see, and if you have video pictures, please submit them too. I'll put them right up. So, that's for the text board so far, reading, skimming through. I'm going to take a little break right now, and when I come back, we will really get into some simulation theory. I'll see you all in just a little bit.
Four in 10 people believe in ghosts. Over a third of people believe intelligent life exists outside of Earth. 43% of you believe demons exist. We invite you to Beyond the Radar, your paranormal news show. If it's unexplained phenomena happening daily around the globe, we're talking about it. Exploring the unexplained, challenging the conventional, and diving deep into the shadows that lurk just beyond our perception. Come join the transmission on the United Public Radio Network. Once you come, you'll never be the same.
Meet Daniel Knight, a psychologist with an extraordinary gift to absorb and heal the deepest wounds of the mind. In the heart of a chilling investigation, every secret unraveled binds him closer to darkness. But as he delves into the psyche of a killer, his own demons emerge. Caught in a battle within and against an evil that seeks to exploit his powers, where the line between savior and victim blurs, dare to heal the wounds of the mind. Healer, read it today.
Do you want to reach millions with your product or service? Are you looking to connect with a diverse, intelligent, and engaged audience? Then look no further. Beyond the Radar Radio Show is your golden ticket to achieving just that. Our listeners are curious, open-minded, and always eager to learn. They value quality, authenticity, and innovation, just like your brand. With Beyond the Radar, your advertisement will be heard by millions of dedicated listeners. Our show covers a wide range of topics, attracting a diverse audience that could be your next loyal customers. So why wait? Take your brand to Beyond the Radar and into the hearts and minds of millions. Advertise with us. Let's explore the extraordinary together. Beyond the Radar Radio Show, where your brand meets a world of curious minds. Contact us today for advertising opportunities at www.beyondtheradarnews.com and fill out our contact form. We hope to talk to you soon.
All right, everybody, back. So I want to switch gears a little bit here. I've been really interested in some of the simulation theory news also that's been coming out lately. And if you follow along, there are certain social media sites that are reputable that I do, subscribe to and things like that. And one of the best ones is I fucking love science, Facebook, Twitter, you name it. It is a wonderful site, and it provides a lot of great insight into scientific data in a much more easier and digestible way, I guess is the best way to put it. But the simulation hypothesis that we're going on, and we're getting some real, we're actually getting somewhere nowadays. Now, for anyone who might be under a rock or has no idea about it, the simulation theory proposes that humans experience the world as a simulated reality, as in a computer simulation of our lives for whatever reason. At this point, we always thought that there's going to be no evidence, unless you were on the giving side, unless you are giving up the simulation to someone, you're not going to know. You're in the world, you're completely involved. There's not going to be anything around you. Well, not so fast. Some of the origins go back to some of the greatest minds that mankind has ever produced. People such as Mayans, Monimus, Anaxerxes, Greek philosophers, even to some of the more known ones like Plato and things like that. These are really incredible minds from our world talking about simulation theory, talking about how maybe there's ways to escape the simulation. Maybe there's ways to figure out how to get to the other side. And in that is where we find some of the data that's been misperceived and perceived the wrong way. When I get to this one person, a wonderfully renowned doctor, Dr. Melvin Vopson in Great Britain, he has been working at the University of Portsmouth and is a very important player in the world of the second law of information dynamics. And that requires, the second law of information dynamics is, it requires all systems, including biological life, to evolve in a way that their information entropy, or information content, if you want, shrinks and is reduced to the most optimal level at equilibrium. It is compressed in a way that is exactly what computers do with computer programs. As you know, when you have a bunch of files and you want to send it to someone, it says it's too big. You take it, you put it in a zip file, and then you can go ahead and send it. You condense it to the most information, the least amount of fluff as possible, and then go ahead and send it. Well, this doctor made a discovery. He made a very important discovery. The behavior that he noticed that would suggest simulation theory was while studying COVID genome mutations. Contrary to Darwinian consensus, Dr. Vopson observed these mutations are not random and always a result in reduction of information content, which the measure of entropy can increase or stay the same at the same time. The second law of information dynamics requires all systems, including biological life, to evolve in a way that their information content shrinks and is reduced to the most optimal possible value at equilibrium. It's compressed in a way that exactly what computers do. And this is across the board for all scientific data, biological life, you name it. This is everything. So, wow. If a doctor... And I'm going to give a shout out to his book, and I'm going to promote it here. M.M. Vopson, Reality Reloaded, The Scientific Case for a Simulated Universe. It's available on Amazon. Reality Reloaded, The Scientific Case for a Simulated Universe. That's exactly what it describes, goes into detail of every single thing that he wants to talk about in terms of information dynamics and the data that can prove it's a simulation theory. If we are just conducting things, long story short, if we are just condensing things like computer programs to minimize to the most optimal level, then the universe is acting as one big computer, basically. And one big computer gives computer programs. And whether you like it or not, a simulation theory is possible that way. Now, I had reached out to the wonderful Dr. Vopson to try to get him on to talk to everybody. However, he does not want to go on camera because there has been a lot of threats on him and from religious groups, Christians and Muslim, primarily hardcore devout ones, which leads me to believe, and I'm going to put on my tinfoil conspiracy hat, was that actually them? Or is somebody using them as this radical base? Is somebody using them to send messages on their behalf to get him to shut up about this? It's very interesting. Did you all know the CIA had talked about this in 1983? Does anybody remember that? Does anybody remember the FOIA document that got buried under a mound of paperwork that said astral projection is possible? We are in an energy simulation. This is not me spouting. I have sources. Please go to the CIA website. Go ahead and search for 1983. I believe it was Project Gateway. Please read about it. They're all declassified. They're not even blacked out. They're not even blacked out. You can read about all of this. I gave this information to Dr. Vobson, who has taken it and run with it, because now his information's independently confirmed from another government website. Really interesting stuff. If I could get it right here, I would show all of you. But please listen to me. Even if you have to Google energy simulation, CIA, you'll get the documents. You'll get the report. So, Jenny, how are you? Absolutely. So, an energy simulation is the under the base pretense of what the CIA document is, of course, and I'm going by the document, I'm not going by what I think, but with an energy simulation, it is all of us, you, me, this wall behind me, this light, we are just energy condensed into different masses based on our vibrational plane, vibrational life, vibrational, you name it. We are here to produce energy. That's what it boils down to. For what? We don't know. But we are here to produce energy. We are here to live a life, to create energy, to make energy. Everything you do is a KCAL. It's an equation of energy releasing. All we do is give off energy. If you sleep, you are giving off energy. If you walk, you are using energy. Every single thing is an energy simulation. Everything is an energy hologram. We are just physical components of a spiritual, of a vibrational world. That's exactly what we are. So with energy and us giving that off, doesn't that make us seem like, 7 billion little batteries walking around on this planet? That's what it sounds like to me. I wish I could get, and I'm going to keep working on it, America, loyal listener, I'm going to keep working on it, because Dr. Vobson could be spearheading one of the greatest acknowledgement changes of information in human history. I'm going to keep working on him to get him on here. I will do whatever I can to ease his fears, because listen, America, you need to hear what this guy has to say. Whether it's pre-recorded, whether it's I take his name off of it, whether he just wants me to talk about it, I need to get his information out here because it's worth talking about. This man over in Portsmouth, which I believe is southern England, if I were to be geographically correct, this man is depressed. He didn't want to find this. I won't get into the details of our private conversation, but I'll tell you this. He's depressed. He doesn't want this to be real. He doesn't want this to be true. Everything he's learned is contradict, and the brilliant man, by the way, is contradicting other information laws that he's learned through school. What do you believe? Your own brain? What you were taught? I feel for him. I feel for him. We got a text on the text board here. Carter in Tennessee. Whoa, sorry. A simulation doesn't totally disprove the Bible. Oh, you win today, Carter. That's a very good point. No, you're exactly right. A simulation does not disprove the Bible. It doesn't even come close to disproving the Bible. You can have the Bible, and you can have a simulation theory, and you can have them both be working congruently. It does not mean it's one or the other. and all of my loyal listeners, my wonderful people, loyal Americans, trustworthy Americans, they know that. They believe that. He's told me. He's told me they believe. He gets cut, you know, the more and more people he talks to, he sees who gets it and who doesn't. What does the Bible tell us? Grand micro level, I know it teaches us a bunch of things, and I'm not prepared to read all the stories. But it tells you you're on earth, you live a good life, you go to heaven. You live a bad life, you're a sinner, unrepenting, do not accept Jesus, you go to hell. How is that much different than a simulation? I'm going to give you a test. You're going to be in this world. You're going to have the choices and free will. Now go ahead and make them, and we'll see where you go. Now they're starting to sound a little similar, aren't they, America? Now I'm not going to sit here and try to fight every major religion or anything, but if people just tuned it out, listen to each other, and hear what he had to say, maybe we can get science on board with the Bible. Maybe this division that they're causing in the government, where you have to be either on the science side or either on the religious side. Mm-mm. They separate us because they know the power is when we can come together. And we need people, smart Americans, to think outside the box with this, to talk to everyone, to listen to other sides. Rosalind in Texas, so much hate it said. Yes, Rosalind, it is. Or Rosalind, sorry. It's sad. It's sad because they want to divide. I wish I could guarantee it, but I'm pretty positive that who's sending these threats to this doctor who's devoted his life to making discoveries to better humanity is getting threats from religious sides. I guarantee you it's not from the religious side. I guarantee you somebody's co-signing that, putting it in as if they were a religious fanatic and sending it to him. It's sad. It's sad. They're trying to scare an honest man who's doing research. Now, this is research, people. This isn't the Bible. This isn't factual. You can take his information and disagree with it. He's not coming out here saying, I'm the God of this, I'm the God of that. No. Read his research. If you come up with a different opinion, that's what science is. You come up with a different opinion. I understand what you're saying, but I don't believe that. This tells me that it does this. And that's all it is. Dr. Vopson, I'm going to be hounding you to come on Chasing Prophecy and listen and talk and discuss your theories. It's an open invite, Doctor. We'll promote your book. We'll broadcast it as many places as we can. But Doctor, we need to get you on. So this is my call to you. One thing that he says is that if this law refers to the computational processes and information itself, and the universe does this in everything, just like biological life, perhaps the universe works as a giant computer. That was the sentence. That's the sentence that got him the most hate. Does anyone see that he said perhaps, not definite? Does anyone see that this guy is just talking about his different things and not saying, I know for a fact? Let the man do his work, people. Let the man do his work. And let me put this back up, Nicole. You know, we may not know all the answers until we cross over. I think that's true. I think that's very true. I think we might get some answers right that we believed. I think we'll probably get the majority of them wrong. However, maybe it's best we have to wait for that. Maybe it would corrupt things down here, knowing too much, which science is the race to discover all knowledge possible. If that's the case, you would think if this is a simulation, if there was an energy hologram, if this is all true, there's ways that you would not be able to get to those answers. Unless whoever's designing the program wants it to be found. just an idea, just a school of thought. It's very interesting, though. Absolutely interesting. He's a very brilliant man, and he wants to help us out. So let's take him up on it. Let's see what he does. His paper argues that the second law of information dynamics supports the principle, potentially validating the idea that information is a physical entity equivalent to mass and energy, and even suggests information could be the elusive dark matter in the universe. Wow. If information is the dark matter in the universe, if information is a physical entity and not just in our head, this really does disprove a lot of very key pillars of the scientific industry. Equivalent to mass and energy. If information has mass, as he believes, mass, energy, information, equivalence principle, the question is how much you need out there to make up for all the missing dark matter. How much? Well, that's further down. We're on algebra one here. That's calc. 90% of the universe is things we cannot find. Is it because we don't know where to look? Is it because we physically can't see it? Or is it in theory? Is it simulated? Is it there but not there? Is it unlocked or locked like a video game character? Not sure. But I do know that this gentleman needs to come on, and we need to have him, and we need to talk about this information. Very interesting. I'm going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about wonderful, an AI-powered robot with missiles. Stay tuned.
Four in 10 people believe in ghosts. Over a third of people believe intelligent life exists outside of Earth. 43% of you believe demons exist. We invite you to Beyond the Radar, your paranormal news show. If it's unexplained phenomena happening daily around the globe, we're talking about it. Exploring the unexplained, challenging the conventional, and diving deep into the shadows that lurk just beyond our perception. Come join the transmission on the United Public Radio Network. Once you come, you'll never be the same.
Meet Daniel Knight, a psychologist with an extraordinary gift to absorb and heal the deepest wounds of the mind. In the heart of a chilling investigation, every secret unraveled binds him closer to darkness. But as he delves into the psyche of a killer, his own demons emerge. Caught in a battle within and against an evil that seeks to exploit his powers, where the line between savior and victim blurs. Dare to heal the wounds of the mind. Healer, read it today.
Do you want to reach millions with your product or service? Are you looking to connect with a diverse, intelligent, and engaged audience? Then look no further. Beyond the Radar radio show is your golden ticket to achieving just that. Our listeners are curious, open-minded, and always eager to learn. They value quality, authenticity, and innovation, just like your brand. With Beyond the Radar, your advertisement will be heard by millions of dedicated listeners. Our show covers a wide range of topics, attracting a diverse audience that could be your next loyal customers. So why wait? Take your brand to Beyond the Radar and into the hearts and minds of millions. Advertise with us. Let's explore the extraordinary together. Beyond the Radar radio show, where your brand meets a world of curious minds. Contact us today for advertising opportunities at www.beyondtheradarnews.com and fill out our contact form. We hope to talk to you soon.
All right, everybody, back again. So, something I haven't talked about on this show yet, but I have talked on other shows in under the UPRN umbrella, is the fact of AI and what it could potentially be doing to us, the human race, maybe not right now, but 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 50, 100, whatever it might be. And I've always maintained that instead of the all-out type of Terminator war, the all-out battle between AI and humans and things like that, I've always maintained that it would be more of a slow burn. It wouldn't be the all-out battle. It would be AI getting so good at doing life, doing all of this, that there is no need for humans to be creative anymore, is the best way to put it, to be engaged with the world as much, to sit more behind the computer, to build programs to have it do things for us and live our lives for us, basically. And then 200, 300, 400 years from now, when something goes wrong and all AI machines are the ones doing surgeries, all AI machines are the ones building things, you lost a skill set throughout time. People don't know how to operate anymore. People don't know how to fix machines the old-fashioned way, fix cars, you know, what have you. That's how I thought it would be. Well, I might have to reevaluate this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not sure how many are familiar with DARPA or ARPA. ARPA was made by Dwight Eisenhower back in 50... Was he like 50? He was right before Kennedy, so 57, 58, something like that, which was the Advanced Research Projects Agency. And now it's known as DARPA. So ARPA, now DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, a branch of the government, a yearly budget, America, a yearly budget of $3.8 billion with a B that does not have to be disclosed, because it's under national security. $3.8 billion. It's holed up in, I think, Virginia. But what they focus on is weather satellites, GPS drones, stealth technology, voice interfaces, ding, 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 and personal computer and internet protocol. Huh. So $3.8 billion to look at some weather satellites, GPSs, drones, and stealth technology. Well, one of the first things that really caught my eye in this race towards AI and automation and things like that, just last week, the 25th, DARPA launched a toy. And I use toy as a joking way, but it's really a 20-foot, 12-ton tank that drives itself, AI-powered. It is called Racer. The robotic autonomy in complex environments with resiliency. RACER, R-A-C-E-R. This is an operationally manned combat fighting vehicle that can go 30 miles at a time and up to 25 miles an hour, people. Not if that's crazy enough, they outfitted it with green eyes. Very fun. This combat scale robot supports porting and performance, and the demonstration is it can go 30 runs of 3 to 10 miles on any terrain, mountainous, rocky, sand, water, and of course, normal terrain. The Racer program has been chugging along for 20 years, and starting in 2004, where the concept of this vehicle was originally made. This is now based on the Textron M5 vehicle. Military fans will know that. But the hardware stacks and software were developed by Carnegie Robotics, which is a private spinoff of Carnegie Mellon. Carnegie's money, people, money. People with a lot of money get the best toys. Here's proof positive. It's also built for urban street driving. And it has... it's planning one more field test in 6 months. So this thing, and please go check it out, go check a video of it. This thing can roll up a mountain and down the other side of a mountain. This thing can go through small streams, creeks, you name it. and it can also be not powered by a person. If you just look at this thing, you can see consciousness in it. There's absolutely a way they can make this sentient, and they can make this go hunt whomever down. Now, the issue is, yeah, they can go do that. They can, of course, do that to outside forces. But with it being compact, now this thing's 20 feet long, but it doesn't look that wide if you take a picture of it, take a look at it. It's not that wide, but it can be used for indoor city uses, inner city. I wonder how long it takes before this thing is turned on one of our own. And I don't mean autonomously, like AI decides to go attack a human. I mean before we send it in and make a mini version of it for SWAT, riots, things like that. This could be the catalyst for AI punishment, basically. If you're programmed and you set a program where if it fits this criteria, you can fire on someone, and you set that criteria and it's voted on, you're going to have to be prepared for what happens after that. And this is not a good thing. Just because we can, America, loyal listener, just because we can doesn't mean we should. There's something that I heard before that I want to mention here. It's a debate. It's a debate there, you know, you can make a side for either one. If there is a baby, a child, whatever you want to say, in a crib, and you could eliminate it before it becomes the next mass murderer, Hitler, whatever, do you take that? Do you do that? If it's a definite, do you do that? Does it change if that definite is a maybe? It could become this. AI could become a problem for the United States. It could become a problem for us. Should we get rid of it now and not worry about it later? Or is our ego big enough that we're going to keep trying to fight this? Man, that's a tough argument, people. America, I'm telling you right now, looking at this thing, looking how fast it can go, it looks like a mini tank. It looks like a mini tank that can go up and down a mountain. This thing is also outfitted with sensing technology, a mine and IED disarming devices, armed with a cannon, a Javelin missile launcher, and all of that can be operational with nobody inside the tank. You're giving all of these sensing technologies, you're giving all of these weaponry, you're giving everything to this thing without having to put a person in to make that decision. This could be a very big problem. Because now, the people deciding wars are going to be coders, not soldiers, are going to be people tasked with maintaining an infrastructure, not bombers. They're going to have to take orders from strategic leaders who might not fully grasp the concept of this transitionary period in our technology and in our life. And that's scary, people. That's scary. I want my fighters to do the fighting. I want my warriors to do the warring. I want my soldiers to do the fighting. That's what they're trained for. That's what they signed up for. That's what they're made for. I don't know if we're getting the same value, I guess I should say, for lack of a better word. I don't know if we're getting that when you have people not trained for these situations, not mentally prepared to, and I'm not calling anybody weak, but I'm saying not mentally prepared for the decisions that they're going to have to make. To know, we just had a blockbuster movie come out last year. A blockbuster movie, Oppenheimer, based on this very principle of we need to do it before somebody else does it. We need to build these things before somebody else does. We need to build the bomb before someone else does. And using that logic, what happened? The Nazis never used it. The Nazis never dropped a nuclear bomb on anybody. We did, twice. Look what happened to those people after that. the mental fallout, the mental breakdowns, the stress, the anxiety, the depression of what you did. These are men of science. They're not warriors. And I'm afraid coders, IT professionals, people that have nothing better to do. You could have somebody in somebody's basement, somebody in somebody's mom's basement coding programs as a part of a contractor to wipe out a massive amount of people. When you have, they always let themselves back in. I work in IT. I see it all the time. They always leave back doors in case they need to shut the program down. Who else would know about that? I don't know if we're the most technologically advanced company or country. I'm sorry, not company, country. I don't know if we are. But if you leave a weakness out there, compared to the brute military force of what the United States can give, can put behind, can recruit, can train, can use, I trust that a lot more than people sitting behind a computer, because I think that can level the playing field tremendously, people. America, I'd love to know what you think. Oh, look, Casey in Florida, I believe that we should not be experimenting with AI in terms of military craft. I completely agree, Casey. I completely agree. We should not be tested with this. It is not proven. It is not enough. And if it fails one time and kills our own soldiers and starts firing on our own soldiers, that's one time too many for me. We also have Mark from Georgia. Mark, what do you got to say? I don't believe that we should be having this. I agree. Just like we said with Casey, I don't believe we should be having this. It could determine loss of life. Wait till it starts getting used on the lower levels. Yes, you're exactly right. The civilian level, we could really be doing a lot of damage to everybody. You guys get it. You guys are wonderful with the comments, wonderful with the texts, my messages, my emails. You guys are wonderful. I do this for all of you. I want to have an interactive program because I saw there was none that wanted to interact with me. Nicole, you're always here. I love it. I love it. We touch on everything here. We get into everything weird. We get into what makes us us. I just want to thank everybody for another wonderful Beyond the Radar. It's a wonderful time. Wonderful being in front of everybody. I want everyone to have a wonderful week, and I'll see everybody next week.
Four in 10 people believe in ghosts. Over a third of people believe intelligent life exists outside of Earth. 43% of you believe demons exist. We invite you to Beyond the Radar, your paranormal news show. If it's unexplained phenomena happening daily around the globe, we're talking about it. Exploring the unexplained, challenging the conventional, and diving deep into the shadows that lurk just beyond our perception. Come join the transmission on the United Public Radio Network. Once you come, you'll never be the same.
Meet Daniel Knight, a psychologist with an extraordinary gift to absorb and heal the deepest wounds of the mind. In the heart of a chilling investigation, every secret unraveled binds him closer to darkness. But as he delves into the psyche of a killer, his own demons emerge. Caught in a battle within and against an evil that seeks to exploit his powers, where the line between savior and victim blurs. Dare to heal the wounds of the mind. Healer, read it today.
Do you want to reach millions with your product or service? Are you looking to connect with a diverse, intelligent, and engaged audience? Then look no further. Beyond the Radar radio show is your golden ticket to achieving just that. Our listeners are curious, open-minded, and always eager to learn. They value quality, authenticity, and innovation, just like your brand. With Beyond the Radar, Your advertisement will be heard by millions of dedicated listeners. Our show covers a wide range of topics, attracting a diverse audience that could be your next loyal customers. So why wait? Take your brand to beyond the radar and into the hearts and minds of millions. Advertise with us. Let's explore the extraordinary together. Beyond the Radar Radio Show, where your brand meets a world of curious minds. Contact us today for advertising opportunities at www.beyondtheradarnews.com and fill out our contact form. We hope to talk to you soon.